Saturdays at noon on Ave Maria Radio.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
And now, Heart, Mind, and Strength. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength with Catholic psychotherapist and author Dr. Gregory Popcheck and his wife and co-author Lisa Popcheck. Every weekday at this time, Greg, Lisa, and friends help you find faith-filled answers to questions about marriage, parenting, and the people who drive you nuts. So join us for the next hour as we explore how to love and serve the Lord with our whole heart, mind, and strength.
Love you, love in my heart.
Hello there, everybody. You are listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I am your host, Catholic psychotherapist, author, Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Greg's co-host, Catholic family life coach, Lisa Popcheck.
And we are taking your calls today at 877-573-7825. Once again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825. How's the day shaping up so far? We like to think of this hour as the opportunity in the middle of the day, or in various listening parts, a little earlier than the middle of the day, but to check in and to reorient and say, okay, this is where we've gotten, this is what's going well, this is what needs to be corrected, so we can move forward and conquer the rest of the day and be, as St. Paul says, more than overcomers. So if you have been struggling so far this morning, if things have not been turning out as you wish they were, if you are just looking at the rest of the day and dreading what's coming, give us a call and we will help you prepare for it so that you don't have to dread it anymore. 877-573-7825.
You know, there are those times where you stop at the noon hour, you do that Angelus, and it's kind of one or two reactions. Well, three. There's the days where it's just like, okay, this was a peaceful, prayerful moment in my day. Then there are the other two reactions. The either, oh, Blessed Mother, pray for me because this day is so hard and I really can't get through it without you and I'm really going to lose my mind. Help! Or the reflection of, I'd like to be like that. I'd like to be, you know, like Our Lady, like the Holy Family, everything being peaceful. But look at my life. Look at the chaos that reigns around me. That moment of prayer at midday that the Church encourages us to have can shed an awful lot of light on where we are and how much farther we need to go in order to be everything that we're being called to be by God. If you're having that moment where you're thinking, I need somebody to get behind me and push me to the finish line of this day and get me there safely without my knees being too scraped up, not too many Charlie horses, and maybe successfully in some way, maybe actually feeling like a winner by the end of the day, we can be there to kind of push you along.
877-573-7825 is the toll-free number to join the conversation here on Heart, Mind, and Strength. Of course, our email address is radio@exceptionalmarriages.com. We are here for you. In addition to taking your calls today, by the way, we are also going to be talking about separation anxiety. This, of course, is the beginning of the school year. Some of you are back to school already. Most of you will be back by next week. Either way, some of you are going to be going through a little bit of that separation anxiety issue. So we thought we'd give you some ways to deal with that effectively and some things to watch out for and maybe even some things to avoid. We'll be talking about that in the first segment here. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to join the conversation about that or any other problem that is weighing heavily on your heart, troubling your mind, or sapping your strength. 877-573-7825. Well, with that, let's get started with our prayer.
In the name of the Father,
and
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for the opportunity you are giving us to spend this time with you and with all the good people who are tuning in right now. We ask your blessing, Lord, in this hour, that it would be a time of blessing for all of those who are joining us right now. We ask you, Lord, to be with those who are struggling today and having a difficult time in their marriage or their family or their personal life, because, Lord, life is filled with troubles, and sometimes those problems feel completely overwhelming. We're told, of course, that you never give us anything that we can't handle, but some days it really feels like that is not the case at all. And so on those days, help us to remember that the truth is that you never give us anything that we can't handle with your grace. so that when we feel overwhelmed, remind us that we need to turn to you and rely on your strength, to rely on your love, to rely on your grace, so that we can not only overcome the problem, but be, as St. Paul says, more than overcomers. Renew our hearts so that they can beat with the fire of your love. Fill our minds with the peace that surpasses all understanding. Strengthen us with your grace so that we can become everything that you are calling us to be. And we ask all of this in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Mary, seat of wisdom.
Please, Mother, pray for us.
Well, before we take a look at this, these recommendations for dealing with separation anxiety, it's time for Living in the Word, where we take a look at a verse from Scripture that reminds us of God's faithfulness and our response. This week's Living in the Word comes to us from Psalm 34, verse 18. When the just cry out, the Lord hears them and rescues them from all their distress. I love this verse because it's both an encouragement and a challenge. You know, the encouragement, of course, comes from the fact that God does rescue us from our distress. The challenge comes from the part that says, when the just cry out. God is reminding us in this verse that, yes, He is there, and He will deliver us, and He does love us, and He does desire to rescue us from all the problems and all the overwhelming stuff of life. But He asks us to place ourselves in His care, to make good choices, to live virtuous lives, to seek reconciliation when we've fallen, so that we can remain in His grace, and we can receive all the gifts that He wants to give us, so that we can live that abundant life. If you're going through a difficult time right now, I'm going to encourage you to commit this verse to memory, so that God's Word can be a comfort to you in your time of need. Again, it's Psalm 34, verse 18. When the just cry out, the Lord hears them, and He rescues them from all their distress. Amen. Well, we're going to be taking your calls in just a few at 877-573-7825. If you're on the line, hang on. If you haven't called in yet, give us a holler. Again, the number 877-573-7825. But many of you have children who are going back to school. Some of you are having children who are going to school for the first time. Many of you have actually started already. God bless you. And the rest will be beginning soon. Some of your children may be experiencing some signs of separation anxiety. And it's important to know how to deal with that so that it doesn't evolve into an even bigger problem. How do you know, though, whether your child is experiencing separation anxiety or just being obstinate? Well, some signs of separation anxiety include things like getting upset while getting ready to leave for school, worrying that something bad will happen to the caregiver while the child is at school, worrying about getting lost or kidnapped when apart, an obstinate refusal to get on the bus or get out of the car, tantrums, screaming when being pushed to leave, problems with going to sleep the night before school, nightmares, refusing to sleep in the child's own bed, physical complaints when facing separation, like stomach aches, headaches, even vomiting. And separation anxiety can become a very serious problem. And obviously, parents hate to see their children suffer. We wanted to talk through some ways, though, that you can ease your child's pain as they are transitioning into school.
And I'd like to start talking about the idea of not letting your kids get to this place in the first place, but really starting when they begin school, if you're lucky enough to be hearing us before that starts. You know, in the weeks leading up to school, really talking about what the child should expect in terms of what the schedule of the day is going to look like, you know, reassuring them of exactly where they're going to be dropped off or put on the bus, how, if they're going by bus, they're going to transition from the bus to the school. Some kids have no clue how that's going to happen. We think they get it because, you know, we're adults and we put our heads on their bodies. But even taking them a few days before school and showing them where the bus will drop them off, where they're supposed to walk from the bus to the school, where they're supposed to line up or meet with their teacher, and then exactly where you are at what time and where you're going to be getting them. Walking them through that schedule, not just once, but at least a couple of times before they actually start school. And I mean literally walking them through it, not just telling them, so that they can actually have the muscle memory and feel secure and know that you've taken care of all that and you've got it in mind. That's a great first step. those early days of kindergarten, preschool, kindergarten, or first grade, meet with the teacher beforehand if you've got a kid who's a little skittish about this. If you've got a really good teacher and you're willing to be reasonable with them, the really good ones are going to let you be there a few minutes early before school starts with your child, and you be there to, you know, get them into the classroom, allow them to look around the room and see who's interesting to them, and then mom or dad becomes the facilitator where you, you know, say, okay, well, this is your desk, and look, let's meet this kid here. Let's see what their name is. You introduce your child to them or get them involved in an activity right away where they're beginning to meet somebody before the school day even starts. So then you can make a graceful exit before the school day really has to begin. But knowing that your child's already been introduced to another child and feels a bit more comfortable. Because if you can do that before you begin to interrupt the teacher's day, but you've given your child a sense of, all right, I'm not a complete stranger in this situation. I'm well armed. I can handle this. And you let them know exactly when they're going to see you again and how. You can interrupt a lot of these fears from ever really beginning.
You know, sometimes you're going to get advice from counselors and others who will just say things like, well, just drop them off and drive away. And I think that that's sort of a step two, that if you've done the sort of things that Lisa is describing and they're not helping, then you can take this more direct approach where you just kind of throw the child into the deep end of the water and ask them to try to swim. I would not recommend doing that for an extended period of time. You can try it for a couple of days, see how that works. If that doesn't work as a follow-up to all the things that Lisa was describing, then what you're probably dealing with is not just separation anxiety, but actually a separation anxiety disorder. And at that point, it's time to get a professional involved who can help you provide the emotional support and help the child develop the psychological resources that are necessary to do battle against the fears that are robbing that child of his ability to be peaceful and successful.
And don't be afraid to do that. There's usually, if your child's really having the kind of symptoms that we talked about at the beginning of the article, where the child's having nightmares, having trouble going to sleep, really adamantly refusing to get on the bus or out of the car, even to the level of tantruming or pulling the whole, I'm too sick, I can't go to school. Well, we've all done that at some point. I mean, you know, there wouldn't have been Ferris Bueller's Day Off unless we could all relate to it.
Bueller.
But if it's becoming
Bueller.
A real problem, get that counseling. Because most of the time there's an underlying fear that does need to be addressed. A sense of either I'm afraid mom and dad won't still be married when I come home, if there's that kind of stress going on in the family, if there's been a recent loss of a member of the family due to illness or death.
Well, I remember last year we had a call from someone around this time of year, actually, who was talking about their child's separation anxiety and saying, you know, I don't understand why this could possibly... It was the middle of the year. And they were saying, you know, the first part of the year, the child was fine. I don't understand why when they came back from Christmas break, everything was, you know, kind of went down the toilet. And I don't understand what the problem is. And we kind of talked about, you know, what are they doing well at school? Yes, they're doing well at school. You know, and it turned out that the family had been evicted from their home because of some financial problems. And they basically had to move to another state overnight. And so, you know, I mean, and we asked how that went down. It's like, well, they sent the kid to school in the morning. They packed up the house. They picked up the kid from school and they moved to another state by the end of the day. And that had something to do with it, you know.
Yeah,
so,
because
I mean,
the child really wasn't sure what to expect. And we as parents have the ability to logically think through things and have a lot more information than we usually give our children. And so the more information you can give, especially if there's a sibling that's just entered the home or is expected soon, that can also be a huge trigger with school year issues where the child doesn't want to go. I know I have an older sister who, when I was born, my sister was 7, so she was in first or second grade, and suddenly she didn't want to go to school at all. And she did have many of this kind of symptoms that we're talking about. And when they finally really sat down with her and talked to her about why, she was terrified. Something got in her brain that now that me, the new baby, was around, that mom and dad would just pack up the new baby and move away and leave her there. Now, why that got in her brain, nobody knows. But it was there, and it was triggered by this huge adjustment to having a new sibling after so many years of not having one. So if you're not understanding what's triggering your child's anxiety around school, first and foremost, make sure they feel safe and secure and that you've actually walked them through going and coming to school and discussed what they can really expect during the day so that they feel competent. Check in and really discuss with them what the triggers may be. And if you're still at a loss, make sure you get them into a good counseling situation so you can uncover what's really underneath it all and give them the skills they need to be successful.
So if you or someone you love is struggling with anxiety of some sort or another, pick up the phone and give us a call. Of course, if there is some other issue that is weighing heavily on your heart, troubling your mind, or sapping your strength, we are here to help you find faithful, practical, effective answers. Pick up the phone, give us a call. It's 877-573-7825. Our email address?
radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
And we'll be right back with your questions, comments, and insights coming up after this.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Most of the pro-life attention regarding the pending bills in Congress for a government-run health care system is on abortion funding and elder care. But the bills also contain a section allowing the nation's biggest abortion business to enter public schools. The bill would allow Planned Parenthood to run taxpayer-funded health clinics in or near schools. The White House has quietly disabled the email address it promoted for backers of the pro-abortion health care bills pending in Congress to tattle on opponents of the legislation. Without fanfare, the White House has disabled the email address and is asking people to visit the main website instead. This is Life News Radio.
Hi, I'm Stephen Ertelt, editor and CEO of LifeNews.com. You know, it only takes a few minutes to make your pro-life views known to your elected officials. Take the time today to contact your state legislators and members of Congress. Log on to www.lifenews.com and find out what's happening in Washington or in your state capital. Then call, write, or email your elected officials. Tell them you're pro-life and encourage them to keep the pro-life perspective in mind when they represent you.
The White House is blaming political organizations like pro-life groups for the unsolicited emails people have been receiving promoting the pro-abortion health care restructuring bill. Thousands of people have emailed LifeNews.com and other media outlets complaining about the spam emails from the Obama administration. Finally, during a weekend interview, a cabinet-level Obama official said she wants the controversial elder care end-of-life counseling proposal to remain in any final version of the health care bill Obama may receive. Health Secretary Kathleen Sebelius says she hopes the death panels will remain. For pro-life headlines you can read in less than a minute each day delivered to your email address, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. With that, let's go to Mary in Texas. Hey there, Mary. Welcome to Heart, Mind, and Strength. How can we help you today? Mary in Texas?
Hello, are you there?
There she is.
She's
yes.
There.
Oh. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
What's up?
Okay, I have a question about my oldest son.
Mm-hmm.
I know you guys are... And y'all recommend, like, the Sears books, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, my son was a kind of a high need.
Okay.
Baby.
And how old is your son now?
Now he's six.
Okay, and how many other children do you have, and what are their ages?
There's a three-year-old who'll be four in October.
Mm-hmm.
A two-year-old who turned two in May, and I'm expecting a fourth in October.
Okay, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so with the six-year-old now. Yeah, high need six-year-old.
Yes. Well, he's always been that way, but, you know, he is, you know, a joy to have around at most times, and, you know, we enjoy him. And
okay, understood, but what's the question?
Well, lately, he's been a little more sensitive than usual, which he's always been kind of sensitive,
mm-hmm.
Easily frustrated. I was just wondering, like, any other, I'll give you an example now. What I really wanted was, like, any other resources you have that will keep encouraging me, because I'm getting discouraged that...
Well, here's the thing. I mean, yeah. when you say he's sensitive or he's easily frustrated...
Uh-huh.
You know, you started off by talking about attachment stuff. They're not necessarily related. When you say give me an example of this
okay,
frustration
well,
or the sensitivity.
Okay. Well, I would just figure, you know, if I could attach myself more, that maybe this behavior would subside.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, and it feels like the more that I put into it, mm-hmm. I get more discouraged.
Yeah. Because, you know what? In fact, because there are two different things, okay? Attachment provides a secure base for a child to do. But what you're talking about here, when you have a kid who is easily frustrated and given to emotional displays, that's not an attachment issue. That's a self-control issue, and that's a totally different thing. I mean, it's related. I mean, the degree of attachment tends to lend itself to having a greater capacity for emotional control, but that control has to still be taught. You can't just facilitate it through drawing closer to the child.
The wonderful thing is that if you're well attached to him, you've got a really firm foundation to start teaching those skills and laying down a firmer line, rather than if you had a shallow attachment and he was nervous and anxious on top of it, and you're trying to lay down a more firm foundation for him so that he can launch a little bit more. Then it's more tentative. So you've done the right things. Now we just need to be able to kind of insert backbone into kid.
Yeah, now here's
like
the thing.
Like an example, like from this morning.
Sure, go for it.
Okay, well, this morning he had woken up and I was going to give him his breakfast. And I don't even remember what was said, but he had said something in a way that was, you know, he was a little grumpy from the morning. And I had told him, well, I know you're tired, but I need you to tell me this in a nicer way. Mm-hmm. And he did not want to repeat it, so I said, well, can you please sit over here until you're ready to repeat this to me in a nice way. And, you know, it just, you know, he got grumpier, and I don't like it when you correct me even when you do it nice. And I had reminded him to do something that he said he already knew to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I don't need reminding, just, you know. And I said, well, could you tell me thanks anyway, but I already know. And, you know, he ended up having to sit away from us for an hour until he was ready to repeat this. This doesn't usually happen. But there
you say this does not usually happen or does usually happen?
No, he's not usually there.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. Yeah, I mean, what I would suggest to you is that the timeout, it needs to happen away from you so that he doesn't continue in these discussions or trying to pull you into it. You're doing the right thing, basically. I would just, see, here's the thing. All right. When kids are younger than four, then the tantrums that they throw tend to be because they're overwhelmed. And so by drawing closer and cuddling and coaching them through it, that's exactly the right thing to do for a tantrum under four. Whenever you hit about four, and by the way, these ages are, you know, give or take, right?
Kind of fluid.
But 4 to 6 is kind of the critical period for developing more emotional control, because that's usually the time frame where a kid's language develops to the point where they can start to do a lot of self-talk. And what that means is that whenever they have an emotional issue, whenever they start to get upset, they can actually add fuel to the fire by talking themselves into being even more upset. And so your ability to calm them down or comfort them or whatever decreases, because they're actually sustaining the emotional turmoil by talking themselves through it. So you've got to put them in a position where they're left to sort of wrestle with those feelings. So, you know, you have to put him kind of away from the rest of you whenever he's in that place and say to him, honey, I love you, I know you're upset, but you need to stay here, far away from the rest of the world, until you're ready to come out and be respectful and do what I've asked you to do. And it's his job to learn how to get enough control of himself that he can say what you asked him to say in the way you asked him to say it. He doesn't come out of that time, of course, until he's able to tell you what he did wrong, what he should have done differently, to give you a sincere apology for it, and the most important thing, rehearse with you how it should have gone. We talk about these steps for dealing with tantrums and difficulties handling their emotions at 6 and up in Parenting with Grace, A Catholic Parent Guide to Raising Almost Perfect Kids. I think that if you take a look at that section on early childhood, it'll really help you out here.
And Mary, you've done a great job so far. The message he's sending you right now is that he's having a hard time understanding and controlling these bigger feelings. And he really desperately needs you to start setting some very firm, politely, respectfully as you are, but firmer limits, so that he knows that these feelings can't begin to control him so much that they actually begin to control you.
And do not get into arguments with
never.
Him. Don't cajole him. Don't, you know, if he's shouting from behind the door,
ignore it. Oh, he doesn't get that bad.
Okay, but don't get into any of those kinds of discussions.
Actually frighten him a lot to have that much control, and it'll really go out of control for the whole family.
But you got a good foundation. He just needs to develop the skill of getting himself back online, and you need to sort of step out of it and let the consequences do the talking for you. As I said, we have more suggestions along these lines in Parenting with Grace. Check out the chapter on early childhood, and I think it'll be a big help to you. Mary, God bless, and thanks for the call. If there's more we can do for you, you know where to find us. We're here every day. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength for Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck, taking your calls at 877-573-7825.
We're going out to New Jersey to talk to Patty.
Hey, Patty in Jersey, welcome to the program. How can we help you today?
Hi, thank you. I actually have a question about anxiety for myself. I'm 48 and a half. I had experienced a panic disorder from the time I was 4, but it went unrecognized or undiagnosed until I went into therapy in my 20s.
Okay.
And once I went through therapy to deal with the issues that were really triggering the panic attacks, I've gone for about 14, 15 years without having any panic or anxiety disorder symptoms whatsoever.
Wonderful.
But what I've noticed is, and I have talked to my MD about this, but they seem kind of ignorant about it. In the last couple of years, as my hormones are changing and I think my body's really gearing up for menopause, I'm starting to have the rapid heartbeat part of the anxiety, which always for me was the initial anxiety attack. Like I knew an anxiety attack was coming when this heartbeat would start to accelerate.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't progress to the point where I'm feeling like I'm being asphyxiated or anything, but my breathing changes, and I know how to, in my mind, alter my body. Like I know how to slow it down and chill out and
good.
But is it possible that these anxiety, little mini anxiety episodes are strictly hormonal and that I'm okay?
It's possible. Yeah, totally
absolutely
it's possible.
Positively. It
In
could
fact,
be.
That's where I would go first for this. I mean, I don't think there's any reason that this should provoke an anxiety attack unless what you would start to do, which is what some people will do, is that they will catastrophize their physical symptoms. You know, so they'll start saying to themselves like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm having a heart attack, or oh my gosh, you know. So
okay.
And that at that point, then it can become a panic disorder. But I do think that the most likely explanation for this is
hormonal imbalances can actually completely, even to the point of having panic attack symptoms besides the rapid heartbeat. It really can bring on the sweating, the sense of, and I don't mean hot flashes, but the sense of real panic based on what your estrogen is doing at the time. And it really can feel very much like a panic attack. You can have all the emotionality with it, with or without the physical symptoms. I want to turn you on to a great resource, because you could go to a good, you know, endocrine specialist, especially somebody who specializes in midlife issues. There are some good ones at women's hospitals, but unfortunately a lot of what they're doing still is like low-dose estrogen supplements, which sometimes help, sometimes don't help, and can also lead you open to all sorts of medical complications in the future that have nothing to do with balancing your system. So try this first. There's an online source. It's called transitionsforhealth.com. You can also sometimes find it under transitionsforwomen.com. It's a group of doctors who specialize in all phases of women's life, but especially midlife issues, and how to aid them through the more natural products that they've actually come up with. But the deal is they will actually, if you call them, they will actually give you a free consultation. I've used them before myself. There's no product pushing here at all. They will tell you, based on the research they've done, of what they think you might be dealing with in terms of imbalance. They can tell you what tests your doctors can order. They'll work with your primary care physician or your OBGYN or a good endocrinologist in your area. And they might be able to turn you on to something as simple as like a phytoestrogen cream or a phytoprogesterone cream that could start balancing you out right away. They're excellent physicians, and as I said, the consults are free, and they begin working with you, and they do great work. So I'd start there, and if you're not seeing some kind of rebalance of your system once you begin working with them and some of their suggestions, I'd move on to a good women's health hospital and talk to the endocrine department about what's going on with
But
you.
I will say, that, you know, just to go back to the original question, yes, absolutely. I would say that this is more likely a hormonal issue. There's no reason that, menopause or perimenopause should bring back anxiety disorder per se, although many of the symptoms of perimenopause and menopause can mimic anxiety disorder. The thing that you're going to want to be vigilant about is your self-talk, which, you know, helps you compartmentalize in your mind and say, okay, I'm having these feelings. It feels similar to what I went through before, but it's really an entirely different thing, even though the symptoms might be a little bit similar here and there. So focus on addressing the physical complaints and, you know, let go of the anxiety stuff for right now. And you keep an eye on it. And if there's anything else we can do for you, give us a call back here. Okay, Patty?
Okay, thanks.
God bless. Thanks for the call.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
877-573-7825. We've been talking about anxiety. Are you dealing with some issues in your life where emotions are causing you to feel drained, to feel powerless, to feel stuck and overwhelmed in your life? If you are having a tough time today and you need some help, you need some new directions, some new techniques, pick up the phone and give us a call here at Heart, Mind, and Strength. 877-573-7825. Stick around, more with your questions, comments, and insights coming up right after this.
At Ave Maria Mutual Funds, investing is far more than a numbers game. Investment performance is of utmost importance, and equally so are issues such as abortion and pornography. Chances are, these are important to you as well. To learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds' pro-life investing strategies and our investment results, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA. Or visit www.avemariafunds.com. Ave Maria Mutual Funds can help you feel good about your investment decisions, smart investing, and Catholic values. Performance data quoted represents past performance, which is no guarantee of future results. Investment return and principal value are historical and may fluctuate so that the redemption value may be worth more or less the original cost. Prospective investors should read the prospectus carefully and consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses carefully before investing. The prospectus, which can be obtained by calling 1-866-AVE-MARIA or online at avemariafund.com, contains this and other information. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC. The Catholic Mass is the most sacred act of worship in which a person can participate. At the Last Supper, Jesus Christ sat down with his chosen apostles and does something new, something never done before, and yet something which continues until the end of time. The Catholic Mass Revealed is a beautifully written, recorded, and film production. This collection will rekindle your heart, inspire your soul, and enlighten your mind. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and find the online store to get the Catholic Mass Revealed. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Can you see the tremendous value of connecting to a community of like-minded consumers who desire to do business with you? If so, here's that opportunity. Join our community of business owners and professionals who express strong Christian values. Consumers have an added sense of confidence when they find your business in the Catholic business pages. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Catholic business pages link. Sign up this week and get 3 months free.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. Again, that toll-free number, 877-573-7825. Our email address,
radio@exceptionalmarriages.com.
We're continuing to take your calls, but first it's time for Letters from Home, where we take a brief look at the writings of a brother or a sister in the Lord who's gone before us, as a way of encouraging us on our journey toward our heavenly home. Today's letter comes to us from St. Francis de Sales, who writes, "Do not fear what may happen tomorrow, for the same loving Father who cares for you today will care for you tomorrow and every day as well. Either he will shield you from suffering, or he'll give you the unfailing strength to bear it. But be at peace then, and put aside your anxious thoughts and imaginings." St. Francis de Sales reminds us that when God is for us, no one can be against us. And even though the uncertainties of the world, the fears in the world can cause us to feel overwhelmed, we need to remember that God is ultimately taking care of us, and there is nothing that he cannot enable us to overcome. 877 573-7825. What are you struggling with? What feels too difficult for you to bear up under? We're here to help. Give us a call. Let's go to Susan in Florida. Susan, welcome to the program. How can we help you today?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Well,
what's up?
Okay, great. Hi, I have a 12-year-old son who has been diagnosed with pervasive developmental disorder with anxiety.
Okay.
And my question is, this year he has PE on a schedule, and this year they're going to be dressing out. He has very little physical ability to, he can't ride a bike, he can't catch and throw.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like team sports at all. I don't know whether I should fight to take him out of PE, have him do something else. My husband thinks that we should just make him go and, you know, see what happens. But my husband also doesn't really realize that he has a disorder. I mean, he does very well in school. He's AB honor roll every semester. He's mm-hmm. done well on a standardized test. His teachers love him. He's very well behaved. But I'm just afraid he's going to get into PE and hate school and never want to go again. And I don't know if I'm overreacting.
So he's not had phys ed up to this point?
He did in elementary school. In sixth grade, they started switching classes, and he had no PE on his schedule. I just assumed it's because the school realized it wasn't going to do him any good to be in PE. But now I find out that they don't have PE in our school at sixth grade.
Oh,
but
all right.
Next year, he's going to be dressing out in a locker room. He doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to go. And I don't know if I should fight to keep him out. He does work on it.
Now, is he working with anybody on either the anxiety disorder or the PDD?
He did. We took him to a psychologist who mm-hmm. Diagnosed his disorder, and he had several counseling sessions with him. But the insurance company said, so what's going on? You know, is he improving? And, of course, he is improving. He's an excellent kid, excellent student. He has behaviors like rocking. He rocks all the time. He cracks his knuckles when he gets nervous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can tell looking at him that he's something's up.
Uh-huh.
But like I said, he's a great kid, and I just, you know, and the insurance company said that unless, you know, something was really going on, he really didn't need to see the psychologist.
Yeah,
I love
that.
But
yeah, no, I understand.
Usually we took them at the beginning of the year, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess the reason I'm asking is I was wondering if there was somebody who has a better sense of, you know, what he can handle professionally.
For example, has he ever seen a physical therapist as part of treating the developmental disorders?
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. And he was evaluated, and we were told that he had several problems.
Because here's the thing, if you go in to talk to the teachers or the principal about this, they're going to treat you like a hysterical mother. If you can go in there with a letter from a psychologist or the physical therapist,
especially
or whatever,
the physical therapist, if you can get something from a physical therapist,
mm-hmm.
then you know what? I'm a big believer in maternal instinct, and if you're saying the physical therapist is saying these are his deficits in, you know, catching and throwing and running and. I think there's absolutely no reason in this world why you shouldn't pursue the concept of pulling him out of a regular gym class. That being said, I would like to see him in some kind of after-school physical activity where he's not under the same social pressure, where
right.
he can begin to enjoy more physical activity,
yeah, because
he needs to expand his physical horizons a bit more.
Have you heard of a PE class, like, for people who have developmental disabilities, who walk, you know, instead of participating in football, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, actually, I would, and it's going to take some shopping around, but
mm-hmm.
If I were you, I would seriously consider getting him involved in some kind of martial arts class. And really shop around. Make sure you deal with a martial arts instructor that has dealt with children with physical disabilities before. I know the one that both of my older kids have brown belts, and they took classes with kids with developmental disabilities. Some kids
really?
Who had extreme physical disabilities, even things like you know, partial paralysis in their bodies, things like that. And the teachers really would work, even in group class, for them to understand that the only goal they needed to reach was their own personal best. And so
right.
these were kids who were really...
His brother was in karate, and it was $200 a month.
Yeah, and that is going to take a little bit of shopping around. Make sure you're not getting yourself into a contract situation. That's the first thing you want to check on top of the idea. But you want to find something, and it doesn't have to be martial arts.
Because he does need to have greater facility with his, you know, with his physical abilities here. The issue is, does he need the pressure of the
pressure
PE class
of school?
And...
So two things about approaching the school. If you can find some kind of after-school physical activity, be it, you know, a swim class at the Y with somebody who knows how to deal with a kid who's got deficits, a martial arts class that you can afford, something where you can go to the school and say, here's the letter from the physical therapist, and these are the deficits my son is dealing with. Here is the way we're going to meet his PE needs off campus.
Right.
This is what I want to do for my kid. Most likely, if you've got any kind of school system that'll work within the bounds of special education at all, they'll be willing to accept
because
you're going to be meeting the standard.
Because even under the Americans with Disabilities Act, there's got to be reasonable accommodation if you've got
if
you've got proof of a real deficit. I mean, they're going to still want to see that you're addressing the problem, and that's why we're recommending these other alternative ways.
Right, he walks on the treadmill for an hour every night. You know, the doctor has put him on that. I thought about that.
I would definitely go back and get a reevaluation, and so that you have a current letter and some updated information that you can present with the alternative PE plan and see where it goes from there. All right, Susan, I got to let you go with that, Susan, but thanks so much for the call.
Go with your instinct.
Yeah,
trust yourself as a mom.
877-573-7825 is the toll-free number that you can call with your tough questions about marriage, about parenting, about family issues, whatever is weighing heavily on your heart, troubling your mind, causing your strength to fail. Pick up the phone, give us a holler. 877-573-7825. More coming up right after this.
Fully Alive. Reflections on the scripture readings of today's Mass with Father Pat Egan, chaplain of Ave Maria Radio.
Jesus said many surprising things in his time. We get one of them in today's Gospel at Mass. The Pharisees filled Judaism with rules and regulations. It was hard for ordinary folk to keep up with them all, and religion became the pursuit of the well-heeled and the well-off, but not for Jesus. Amen, I say to you, it will be hard for one who's rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of God. So when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, and they said, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "For men this is impossible, but for God all things are possible." The bottom line is that our religion is more about what God does for us than what we do for God. And then Peter replied, "We've given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us?" And Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, that have followed me, in the new age, when the Son of Man is seated on his throne of glory, you yourselves will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who's given up houses or family or lands for the sake of my name will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life." None of us can ever outdo God in generosity. Remember, the bottom line is, our religion is more about what God does for us than we do for him. He is so, so good for us. Let him love you, but remember, many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. I'm Father Pat Egan, chaplain to Ave Maria Radio, commenting on the readings read today at Mass. Remember, inspired by the Word of God, you can be more fully alive.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. What's going on in your day? Are you having a tough time with your spouse, your kids, and your personal life? We have been talking about anxiety and other emotional problems that get in the way of being able to live a more joyful and abundant life. And if your feelings are running you ragged, and it's time to find some ways to win that battle, give us a call. 877-573-7825. Frank from Naples, Florida, gave us a call and asking about alternatives for dealing with his depression. He says he's been struggling with depression for a very long time, and he's tired of taking medications. Do we have any suggestions or recommendations for other ways that he could address the issue? The first thing I want to say to you, Frank, first of all, is thanks for the call. But beyond that, whatever you do, don't go off the medication on your own. Make sure that you're working with your physician to come off slowly. Some people, whenever they quit cold turkey, do fine. Most people will experience some kind of side effects by coming off too quickly if they've been, especially if they've been taking antidepressants for a very long time. So don't do anything with your meds on your own. Make sure you're working with your doc to make any changes there. But yes, there are lots of things you can do in addition to or while you are coming off the medications. You want to focus, first of all, on getting the psychological support and tools that are necessary to help you get better emotional control apart from the medication. You know, and you want to pursue cognitive behavioral therapy, which is a specific kind of counseling that will give you practical tools to be able to face your feelings and work through those emotions rather than just giving you the supportive counseling, you know, with a counselor who says, tell me more, oh yes, okay, you know, and it gives you that supportive counseling. Supportive counseling has its place, but when you're trying to come off medication and learn how to deal more effectively with the emotional backlash that can sometimes occur as you're coming down off the meds, you definitely need some tools and exercises that will help you get a handle on it yourself. And that cognitive behavioral therapy, think of it as sort of physical therapy for the brain, where you're strengthening those mental muscles that enable you to mediate your own emotional responses. In addition, by the way, you can start doing some independent reading on this CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. There's a great book that we recommend often here on the program by Dr. David Burns called Feeling Good, The New Mood Therapy. Feeling Good by Dr. David Burns. And that book will describe many of the techniques that a cognitive behavioral therapist will use. There's actually been some interesting research in peer-reviewed journals that show that the book can be effective even on its own when somebody is working diligently through the exercises. So a great resource. In addition to the counseling option, exercise is a great way to improve your mood. Most people don't like to do it. I'm one of those folks, unfortunately, but I got to tell you, it does help, because exercise helps your body produce endorphins, which is the body's natural kind of stimulant, and it helps you feel better. So getting some exercise, always a good thing. Also, working on your relationships. The more rewarding relationships you participate in, the more groups that you participate in that make you feel connected to others, also very positive in effect on your moods. So if you're having any relationship difficulties with a spouse or with kids or whatever, resolve them. Get the help that you need to resolve those issues so that your relationships feel supportive. And finally, try to find ways to give back to your community. When you're dealing with depression or any kind of emotional problem, it can feel like, you know, you can get kind of self-absorbed with it because it feels so overwhelming. It's so difficult just to kind of deal with your own stuff that it can often make you blind to the needs of others. But when you can feel that you can make a difference in other people's lives, you start to suffer a little bit less. It puts your stuff in perspective. And so if there is work that you can do in your parish or in your community to directly help others, I don't mean just like cutting the grass or, you know, cleaning up after. I mean, those are all good things. But I mean working directly with people to decrease their suffering in some way is really the best thing that you can do. Volunteering at a soup kitchen, for instance, working directly with people who are struggling, visiting the elderly, for instance.
Something like Habitat for Humanity. We're actually helping to build houses and being physical at the same time, so the exercise isn't boring. Plus, you're meeting a lot of people who actually stimulate you and help you feel better, you know, force you to be in a better mood, lift it up a little bit, is an excellent way to go. Something like that would be a great idea.
So a life well lived and getting the good support for you psychologically to be able to develop the resilience and the tools you need to fight back against these feelings are all ways that you can leave the medication far behind. And frankly, Frank, I think that would be even more effective than just doing the medication that you're on right now. So best of luck to you. We will keep you in our prayers as you continue your recovery. And if there's more we can do for you here, don't hesitate to give us a call at 877-573-7825. That goes to all of you listeners as well. If you are struggling right now, give us a call here on Heart, Mind, and Strength. We can help you deal with those emotional difficulties that are causing you to feel like your life is getting smaller instead of more abundant. 877-573-7825.
Greg, I have an email from Anna in Texas, and she writes, "Hello, Dr. Greg and Lisa. Love your show. Here's the deal. Next week, we're going to be starting homeschooling for the first time. Our oldest is 5 and would be starting kindergarten this year. We decided to homeschool within the last year, but I've not told my parents or the majority of my brothers or sisters. But I know how they will feel about homeschooling, since I did tell a couple of my brothers. They won't ask me about it, but they keep drilling my 5-year-old about school. They make little comments like I'm quasi-Amish and such. I have a really good sense of humor, so none of that bothers me, but I am going to have to address this soon, as school will be starting for all the other kids in a matter of days. What is a good way to address this issue? I'm so excited about homeschooling, but will admit that this is even hard for me to tell people about that we're going to homeschool because they act like I'm a nut job or something. I'm also deep into my faith, and they already think I'm a religious fanatic. This is completely taboo for my family. I have 2 brothers who are teachers and a sister-in-law who also is a teacher. How do I break this to my family that, yes, I love the idea of homeschooling, even though it is different from the norm, and I want to teach my children at home? Also, I'm homeschooling instead of sending my children to Catholic school, and that's going to be an issue for my family also. How do I explain that to them? I feel that God's calling me to do this. I've prayed about this for a long time and continue to pray. I feel that I can give them a better base, picture, and love of their faith than even the Catholic school in our particular area can. Thanks for any help you can give me on this issue, and God bless you, your family, and your work. Anna,
thanks for the email. Well, here's the thing. You know, when people ask us, you know, how can I explain this to them, whatever this is and whoever they are, what they really mean is, how can I make them appreciate this thing that I'm doing as much as I am? And the answer to that, of course, is you can't.
It also means, how can I get them to support me fully and give me permission? Because I'm not going to totally feel right until this particular group that matters to me, whether it's my family, my church group, whatever it is, gives me their permission and pats me on the back and says, okay, you've got our full support.
And the sad news is you're not going to get that either. The thing is, you need to be sure in your own mind why you're doing what you're doing and that you're doing is genuinely what you prayerfully believe is best for your family. Having established that, you know, you don't really need to explain anything to anybody. You know, you serve God. Saint John Vianney has a wonderful, wonderful quote where he talks about, you know, don't worry about what other people think. You know, the God, the angels, and the saints are your public. You know, focus on their approval. And that, you know, as brusque as that is, that's really the best advice I can give to you. It's none of their business. I mean, if you enrolled your kids in a school that they disapproved of, you know, would you appreciate them undermining that school? Or as teachers, would they even be making these kinds of comments directly to your child? That's completely inappropriate. You know, what you need to say to them is, listen, I understand that you have issues with my homeschooling. If you've got charitable questions that you want to address to me, I'm happy to entertain any of those concerns, questions, or comments, as long as you can be respectful. But doing end runs around me to talk to my kid and try to undermine my authority in my household is strictly forbidden, and anybody who does it is no longer welcome in my life. Period.
And you also need to avoid the idea of making your kid into a show pony, because a lot of homeschooling parents fall into that in the first few years, where they don't mind, really, the uncles and aunts kind of quizzing the kid, because, hey, it'll show how much more advanced they are, and then I'll get their approval. You're sticking your kid in a nasty situation there, so tell them to back off. They'll get to know your child in time and know whether things are going well or not. It's really not up to them. So when they ask where your child's going to school, just say, right at home, and things are going well. How's everything with you? And change the subject.
But again, you know, there's nothing wrong with answering the charitably asked question, because, you know, most people do mean well. They have questions about homeschooling, and they're coming out of genuine ignorance, and they don't know what you're doing. So they're asking, and that's okay. And sometimes they have legitimate concerns that maybe you haven't thought of. So it's fine if they come to you with charitable, respectful questions, and they're honestly seeking the truth. But it's never okay to do an end run around a parent and start undermining that parent to the child by saying things like, you know, oh, well, you know, you sure you want to do this? Because as soon as that stuff starts to happen, you need to come down hard and say, this is unacceptable. You want to talk to me? You talk to me. You leave my kid out of this and stop undermining my authority, or you just can't be around.
The other thing you want to do, Anna, is get yourself a good support system. So if there's a good homeschooling support group in your area, make sure you get involved in it, at least to the point where you have other homeschooling parents to talk to. You don't have to do every single activity they offer. In fact, please don't, or you'll burn out quickly. And if that's not available to you, or even in addition to, get involved with some support groups online. They're excellent. They're a great way to tap in on those, you know, kind of rough days where you're starting to feel a little burnt out or you're getting the questions yourself. You look at one of those threads and see that everybody else is getting the same kind of questions from their grandmas, aunts, and uncles, and you'll feel a little bit more normal and know how to handle it better.
All right. Well, thanks for the email. Of course, you can always start, you know, dressing Amish and riding the horse and buggy, too. And
yeah, you know, just put on some Amish beards and a hat and say, Mom, Dad, we have something to tell you. Oh, what people will say when we give them the latitude to say it. The thing is, we have to have enough of a backbone so that they know there are certain things that they're just not allowed to mess with us with.
Right. And stop seeking the approval of people whose approval really doesn't matter.
And, you know, I want to say, Anna, if they were attacking, because you're saying you're deep into your faith, if they were attacking your faith, if God forbid a million times they said something deriding, say, about the Eucharist, you'd flashpoint really quickly and shut them down. I know you would, because it matters to you, and you've got that fervent belief in it. Have the same faith in what God is calling you to do, and your own discernment. Of course, not as much as you'd have faith in the Eucharist. Don't start emailing me about that. But that certitude about the fact that God is leading your life and you're serving Him first. And you don't have to, you know, red-hot flash on them, but you do have to be very firm and let them know, hey, this is what I've discerned for my family. This is God's will for us right now, and it's really not up for discussion.
Oh, and make sure that you and your husband are on the same page about all this, too, of course, because his support is going to be critical to being successful in your homeschooling career, especially in the light of, you know, lack of support from the extended family. All right, thanks again for that email. If there's more we can do for you, you know where to find us. And, folks, it's been a pleasure spending this hour with all of you. We thank you for allowing us to walk along with you during this part of your faith journey. If you'd like to learn more about what we have to offer to help you live a more joyful and abundant life, come on over and visit us at our place. I'll give you the address. It's www.exceptionalmarriages.com, where you can read excerpts from our books, you can take our quizzes, you can learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute telephone counseling practice, and a whole lot of other resources to help you live a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life, all there at exceptionalmarriages.com. Now, one more thing I got to ask you. You ready? Get out there and love the Lord.
With all your heart, mind, and strength.
God bless you, everybody. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Heart, Mind, and Strength with Greg and Lisa Popcheck. Heart, Mind, and Strength is produced by Ave Maria Radio and is supported by the generosity of listeners like you. Tune in every weekday at noon, 11 Central, for more faith-filled answers to life's difficult questions on Heart, Mind, and Strength.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you missed a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
The Ave Maria CD library continues to grow. We recently recorded and did a delayed broadcast of an evangelism conference with Archbishop Charles Chaput and Sherry Wydell, hosted by Sacred Heart Major Seminary. This must-have 2-CD delayed broadcast set is $17. The Divine Mercy Center and Right to Life of Michigan jointly hosted Arrested by Mercy, Caught in the Healing Glance of Jesus. The 3-CD delayed broadcast set is $25.50. All editions of Christ in the Afternoon, Catholic Connection, Christ is the Answer, Putting on the Mind of Christ, The Doctor is In, and Heart, Mind, and Strength are also available. All single talks and programs are on high-quality CDs and are $8.50 each. To place your order for one of these titles or to inquire about a talk topic of interest to you, call 734-930-4506. 734-930-4506 or write orders at AveMariaRadio.net.
Faith, family, and the culture of life. It's Family Man with Catholic therapist Dr. Gregory Popchak.
Marriage has taken a lot of hits lately, and some people wonder if that might not be a good thing. Recently, the press has noted the decline of marriage and how, despite the fact that more people are cohabitating and more children are born out of wedlock than ever, everything seems just fine. Well, not quite. Reams of social science data question whether healthy societies and individuals can neglect marriage and remain healthy for